Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
This evening, we're going to share some testimonies from last week's service and through the week as well, some healing testimonies. We've got some awesome ones to share. If you're sitting here and you've got a healing testimony, get ready. We want to invite you to come up and share it just now. But before we do that, we've got a special service. Romina's going to be sharing just a bit about Albania and what God's done in her life and how things are going in Albania. And I can promise you, we heard it this morning. It's really awesome. So get ready to receive. It's going to be good. She had a lot of people responding positively, you know, with a few tears and stuff like this. So I hope you brought some Kleenex. It's going to be good. And then after the service, we've got just celebrating Romina and her time with us. We've busy buying some Boerewors outside. And so there'll be a Boerewors on sale. And we just want to invite you to stay in fellowship with us as we just celebrate Romina's last Stellenbosch service. Okay, so Romina, would you come up? And let's give her a hand as she comes up. Yeah. Father, I want to thank you for Romina. Thank you that as she shares, that she's just going to speak from her heart. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that we're just going to have a great time together, just seeing your heart for Albania and the nations as she ministers to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, hello everybody. I'm Romina. I think most of you know me already now. So I've been to South Africa for 6 months now, and I've been doing internship and Bible school at the same time, and it's been such a blessing, and it's really a privilege to be in front of you guys and just to speak about my lovely country, my beautiful people, and it's just awesome. But before I'm going to start, I really want to show you a video that shows more about Albania, then I will start talking again.
Albania is in Europe, bordering two countries that most of you know: Greece and Italy. Our nation has pagan origin, likewise Roman and Greek culture, worshipping a lot of gods. Our ancestors were Illyrians, and Apostle Paul, in Romans 15:19, mentions that he walked through the country of Illyria in his missionary journeys. So Christianity began to impact our region from the very first century. It is said that Durrës was the center of Christianity in Illyria. There were 70 families converted to Christian belief, and Apostle Paul visited Durrës himself. In the 15th century, Albania was invaded by the Ottoman Empire, which kept Albania in captivity for 5 centuries. The Ottoman Empire put a lot of taxes and restrictions to the Christians, and it was hard for them to survive under the new conditions of persecution, and the majority of them converted to Islam. In 1912, Albania won its independence. In the early 30s and 40s, the first missionaries from the US and England came to Albania to share the gospel and to distribute Bibles and Christian literature. But they hindered great difficulties because the majority of our population was Muslim, and most of them could not read or write. Still, the gospel of Christ was shared. But in the moment when the church was growing and having more influence, the communist government came with a law to forbid religion in Albania. In 1967, our dictator Enver Hoxha declared Albania to be the first atheist country in the world. He declared that religion and faith were against the law. In 1991, Albania was amongst the last countries where communism collapsed after 45 years of dictatorship. Finally, Christian missionaries were free to come and share the word of the Gospels in our country.
Okay, and so now you know a little bit more about my country. I don't like the accent of the guy, but when they said he's Albanian, I said, okay, now I like him. So let's rather keep it like that. Okay, so as you saw on the video, it's 20 years ago Christianity actually started to come in Albania. Because before that, not like any religion was allowed to be part of Albania. Because the guy that was leading the country before, he said that none of the religions is going to be part of Albania because he didn't believe in God. So he wanted even his country to don't believe in that, which is not good. And so 20 years ago, we had our first Christian people, missionary people coming into Albania. But it was a kind of difficult for them to really to share the gospel because people weren't really open into it. So how they started, there is a river that connects Albania into another country with Albania. And they started putting Bibles into plastic bags and throwing into the river and just praying that these Bibles are going to these Bibles are going to go to the right people, just like people will find on the end of the river. So actually, we've got lots of testimonies, lots of big pastors in Albania that got saved just because of this. Which now it's a bit funny, but actually that's how it started. So my parents, they grew up in a Muslim country because Albania, it's kind of Muslim, and but they don't really believe, but it's just messed up. So my parents grew up in a Muslim family, and in Albania, if you are a Muslim, you can't really just say, okay, now I'm a Christian, because it's like you're breaking the law, you're breaking the tradition of your family, and it's not good for your family, because you're embarrassing actually your family. So me and my parents, when they got married, we were living in a very poor area, because we couldn't afford a place to stay, and because of that, my grandfather from my dad's side, they said, we're going to give you a little room so you guys can just stay so you don't live on the streets. So my parents were staying there, which it was with my grandparents and with my uncle, which they didn't really like us a lot. And like 20 years ago, when they really started, Christianity started into Albania, one of the people were my mom, that she got saved from these people coming for the first time into Albania. And my mom got saved, and then my dad was like, I don't know what's wrong with my wife. Why is she reacting so different? And this is weird. But my mom, she was really very scared to share it now with my dad that she really wants to follow Jesus because she didn't know how the family is going to react. But then after a few months, she spoke to my dad, and then my dad made the prayer. He did the prayer of salvation, and he came to Jesus as well. But then now they didn't know how are they going to explain it to the family. Because it was the family, like, hosting us. And then to tell them that we're now going to follow Jesus, they would be like, what are you doing? And my grandfather, he was the priest of the mosque. So for his child to do that, that's the most embarrassing thing that a child can do in Albania. So after a few months, my parents prayed about it, and they really said, we're going to make this decision. We're going to say to them that we're really going to follow Jesus, and then we just take it from there. So my dad goes to his father, and he tells him that I really want to follow Jesus, and this is what me and my family want to do. I was 6 months at that time. My sister wasn't born yet, so it was just me. And my grandfather said to my dad that you can follow that. You can follow your way of religion, what do you want to do, but I'm not going to follow you because I'm going to stay Muslim. And my dad was really very shocked because, like, you will never see or hear that thing happening in Albania. Like, even now, you can Google it. I'm not lying. That's true. So actually, that's how it started in the beginning, and it was very blessing to see how God really started to open doors for us, but also how persecution came. And because my uncle, he said to my dad that you're not my brother anymore because you're breaking the law of the family, you're breaking the traditions, so for lots of years, he didn't speak. He was ignoring my dad. We weren't invited to any of their weddings or parties of the family. So we grew up kind of with that thing. It was like normal to us. And I really want to show you guys something what happened with the Muslim people, what they do in Albania, because I'm not sure you guys are familiar with Muslim people. So I'm going to show you in a picture now. There is a main street that connects, it's like the capital of Albania, that connects, this is my flag, you can see it here as well. You can go on the next picture, please. So, like, Albania is not a big country, it's a small country. And there is the main street that connects Albania with all of the other cities. And this is what happens. Like, imagine this happening in Cape Town. Like, all the streets to get closed, everything, you can't drive or anything, and then you see these weird people on the streets, and then they're worshiping their god. So, it's even the other one. So this is what they do. So they do this thing twice a year, and they really think that by doing this, they are pleasing God. And they really think that when they stop, like cars to don't drive and everything, they really think that this is what God wants them to do, which actually is not true. So to speak to a Muslim person in Albania is not really that easy. Because the same way we have the Bible, they have the Quran. So in their book or in their story, they have the same names as we have in the Bible, but they have it in like, in a different story, in a different way. And when you start to talk to them about Jesus, they agree that Jesus is a prophet, but they don't believe and don't agree that Jesus is Lord. And they say, I know the story, so they will just ignore you, which it makes it really very difficult and very hard to put the conversation further. And so we have one of our guys from the church, actually, and he is, his family is Muslim. So he started to connect to one of the other guys from the church, and he was really very... He used to say that Grace Life people are very weird back home, which we didn't understand why, but we said, okay, it's fine. And every time we will bump into him into the town, he will just freak out if he sees us on the street. And he was very scared. He didn't like us at all, but he was still connecting to one of the guys from the church. And what happened, when Shane was there last year, we saw the guy coming, to church. And when we saw him in church, we were like, wow, like what happened? And, for him, like from a Muslim background to take that step and to come to church, actually for his age, it was amazing. You can put the picture of the guy, please. And, so for him, it was kind of difficult even to share his family that he's coming to church and everything. So he did the prayer of salvation, which actually opened lots of doors for him. But now he was really scared to share it with his parents. So you guys know Carl and Alicia. All of you. Okay. So Carl and Alicia need to speak English in Albania, and somebody needs to translate, which I'm the translator and some other people. So which made it easier for him, because he couldn't say his parents that I'm going to church, but he would say like, I'm going to an English course. Because like Carl and Alicia was talking English, and he would say that I'm doing an English course, it's for free, so it's fine. And then a few months later, we were talking about the Holy Spirit and everything, and we really wanted this guy to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So before I came to South Africa, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So one night he goes home and he was just praying in tongues, and his sister was like freaked out, and she's like, what kind of English is this? She's like, because she was like, this is not English, it's not Italian, what kind of language are these people teaching you? I mean, what are you doing with the people that you're hanging out with? And the guy, he was using like drugs, and he was a smoker, and his life was really going in a wrong direction. So the decision that he made to really follow Jesus, it transformed his life. Like even when you see his face, even his face like has changed. And like to see him where he was last year and to see him today, you'd be like, this is not the same person. And because of his life being transformed, now his sister and his mother are part of Grace Life. So they're following Jesus. And his mom, a few months ago, she did the prayer of salvation, and she was really very excited. And now we make it as a joke. We say, like, we're going to the English course, not to the church. And which really, it blesses us to see, like, Muslim people coming to really the real message of grace. Because we really believe that God wants these people to be saved. Because all of us, we know the verse, John 3:16, because God loved so much the world that he sent his only son. But we always forget the 17, the verse on the 17. I don't know if that's good in English. Anyway. And where it says, I didn't send my son to judge the world, to condemn the world, but the world to be saved. And we really, this is what we want for these Muslim people back home. We don't want them to go and to think that by doing this awesome works, they're going to be saved or whatever. And we don't want them to be condemned or to be judged, but we just want them to come to the real message of grace. And we know and we believe that God's heart is after these people. And Christianity in Albania is less than 2%. So you can figure it out that with your math. So it's less than 2%. And in this less than 2% Christianity, it's just, I think we are one of the churches that is grace. Because you don't find grace churches in there. Everything is like very religious. So I grew up in a Christian family, but I never knew the message of grace. Like I never heard about it, like not at all. And 3 years ago, when I heard the first time the speaker talking that me and a murderer is the same in Jesus' eyes, I was like, I don't agree with that. Like, to me, I was like the holy one. I'm doing the right things. So to me, I didn't agree. And I remember I got so upset when I heard the guy talking in front that I just stood up and I just walked away. I was like, I don't agree with you. That's not true. So I just walked away. But just like to see how God really changed my heart, and it worked in my heart for like 3-4 years now. And it's been really amazing. And we want these people to really come in and to see the real message of grace. And that's actually our vision for Albania. We want like these people to stand very strong, to stand up and to be really very grounded in the message of grace. And after that, we really want Albanian people to stand up for their own country. Because something what happens in Albania that I see it is very similar to South Africa, people leaving their country. Right? I think South Africans are leaving their country. I've heard of that. So what happens to Albanian people, it's like lots of our young people and everybody, the family, they choose like they will work for a while or they need to grow up in Albania and then they decide to just leave the country. So we're losing all our people, like all our people is going away. And then we're like, okay, but who's going to stay now in Albania? But I really believe, and I know that my calling is to go back there and to change that. And we want to see my people to really take the message of grace and to be very strong and to tell people that in Albania is hope. And you don't have why to go into another country to find hope when the hope of Albania is Jesus. And I think the hope of the world is Jesus, not just Albania, but maybe a little bit more for Albania. We need a little bit more in there. More grace. And, we really want to change that. And I really like that verse, 1 Peter 2:5, if I'm not wrong, 2:9, that says we are a chosen generation. And we really believe that verse is for Albania. Albania is a chosen generation. Amen. So everybody leaving Albania, even for me, leaving Albania, coming to South Africa, it was a big step. Coming from Albania to Cape Town, it's a long distance. And I don't know if you guys know, I'm just 19. And making that big step, it wasn't that easy, especially for my Muslim family. They came very against my parents. And they were like, how are you leaving your child, 19, to go out of the country? I mean, especially out of Europe, where it's like very, very far. But I just knew it was God. And I was like, I'm just going to jump. And then we'll see just what happens. So I was a bit scared actually in the beginning, because I knew it was my right time to come and to really get equipped here and then to go back home to help my people. But when I came, I was like, but how is it going to work with the finances? And then I remember saying, God, like, but how am I going to tell people that you spoke to me? How are they going to respond? Are they going to believe it and everything? And when your brain starts to think too much and then you just have to stop it because you can't. And that's what actually, like, my brain was like on fire and everything. And then I just remember God telling me just like, just trust me. Go forward, because these people that are going to help, because you know, like the partner thing, I think you guys know what I'm talking about, partnership. So, I mean, I just remember God telling me these people are not actually partnering with you, but they're partnering with me. And it changed my mind, and I was like, sure, even me, like, if I'm going to give, even when I give, I'm not partnering with that person that I'm giving, but actually I'm partnering with God to impact people's eternity, to impact their life for eternity. And I like that, example that Shane always uses. Imagine bumping into someone in heaven and they're like, oh, you paid for Rabina's trip. She came to South Africa and she changed this, she did that, she was a blessing, and everybody, like, if someone come to Albania, and just to see, like, when people see that and say, like, thank you, and just by giving, it's amazing. And to Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, remember God by giving. And we can remember God, like, by going to church, by going to life group, praying or whatever. But I mean, when you really give to God, it really becomes more real. And when it says, like, remember God by giving is the best thing. And even to start Grace Life in Albania, people gave. I'm sure lots of you guys gave. And, it was a blessing actually to see how people were partnering to keep the gospel alive there. Because actually it was people that gave that the gospel was preached there that my life got transformed. I'm one of the people, and it's like more and more to come. Amen. And, it's just amazing, like, to see that, because, I mean, the kingdom needs the money. Like, to preach the gospel and everything, to go to Albania or to go to Australia or whatever, you need the money. But it's just like when you give with a joy heart, with a happy heart, joyful heart, with a happy heart, it's actually, you're just trusting God and you're saying, like, God, I'm really trusting you and I'm going to put my money into the kingdom to impact people's eternity. And this is what really blesses me. So I've got some pictures that shows about how Grace Life started. And we were 7 people, 5 chairs when we started, when we had our first service. So this is how we started in the beginning. And actually, so even for me, this is the second service actually, because there are 7 chairs. Because I just saw that this morning when I counted the chairs, I was like, wait a minute. So, like, people started to really give and to trust God and to really, believe on what God is doing there. And that's how we started. And on the other picture is like how Grace Life started from an empty room that when you would, speak, the sound was horrible. Like, you couldn't even speak. You had to, like, Alicia or Carl had to speak. I had to wait for a few seconds so the voice will stop on the room. And then I had to start and translate. And we were like, so we can't do it like that. It couldn't. So then we started to put the wood into the wall. Thanks God for Carl. I'm sure he's watching. So thanks, man, for that. He's so blessed. We're so blessed because of him. And actually, just to see these people, Albanian people, to really come and just help, and just they wanted to be part, it really made our heart so excited to see, like, they really want to be part of it. They really wanted to see Grace Life from a little baby and then to grow and grow and grow and then to be up there. And it was actually such a blessing to just see these people coming and helping, and people all are, like, from, even from South Africa. I mean, because South Africa is so far, but still we're one with each other. And there is, like, where we started, and we really believe that Grace Life is not just for South Africa. There is another picture actually that shows the map. this one. So now the map is finished, but I couldn't find the picture, but I'm sure we will find it. And so actually the meaning of this map that we've been doing is just to show people, because it's as you walk into to Grace Life, Albania, you see the map. And it's just like to show people to see that Grace Life is not just for South Africa. And Grace Life is not just for Albania, but it's for all around the world. Because we want everybody to be, to know the message of grace. And, that's beautiful. I like it. Actually, something else that I wanted to ask is, how many of you have lost somebody that they loved so much? That died, passed away. And how many of you know that that person is in heaven? And how many of you know that that person is in hell? No one. Well, I know people back home that are in hell. And I don't know, like, I'm glad you guys haven't experienced that. But I think it's awesome when you know that somebody went away, and it's awesome to know that you're going to see them one day. But I don't think it's a good feeling when you know that that person went for forever and you won't be able to see them again, and you won't be, and then you go to their funeral and you don't know how to encourage the family because you know where they went. This is the story in Albania. Because maybe like the culture here is everybody is Christian, so you can grow up in a Christian family, and then you will always hear about Jesus. Maybe you don't know about the message of grace, but still you're going to heaven. But in Albania, actually, people are going to hell. And it's like, it's not a game, actually. It's so real. Like, our people are dying, and they're going to hell. And because some people say like, okay, Carl and Alicia now is in Albania, they're having fun and people are awesome and everything. Yeah, that's true. But actually, there is not that easy as it looks on the pictures. Like to walk on their shoes, I don't know how I'm glad they made the decision to come there. And really, we want to see, because I mean, none of you wants to see their lovely people to go to. I think even when you know they die, it's difficult. But I mean, just to know that they went to hell, I think it just breaks your heart. Right? So we really want to change this thing in Albania, and we're getting there, and we really believe that Albania is going to be saved, like everybody in there. And something that really want to encourage you guys is Matthew 28. It says, go and make 18 and 19. It says, go and make disciples in all nations. He's not saying just stay in South Africa because it's fine. Like all your people are Christian. I mean, just get out of that comfort zone and just jump out of your country and just see that people out there are really going to hell. And it's not like, okay, my people are saved, so I don't have why to work. I don't have why to work or to worry about it. It's Albania is far, or Europe is far, or the other countries are far, but actually because they are our brothers and sisters. And we don't want to lose people. So just like to, because I love that verse when it says, go and make disciples all the nations. And just, to just start and do that. I think that's the best thing ever. And, yeah. And something else that I want to close up is 2 Timothy 5:2. It says, first of all, you need to take care of your family. How many of you believe that Grace Life is a family? Okay, some of you that don't believe, I don't know what you believe, but because I didn't see all of you saying yes, but okay, Henry, and like we know that Grace Life is one. Doesn't matter that it's in Albania and Cape Town. I forgot the name. it's far, but actually we're one because we are a family in a mission. Right? And we've got the same vision and everything. And like when it says, take first care, like take care first of your family. It means like even Grace Life, that it's a family, take care of the Grace Life Albania, that it's still a little baby in like in the middle of the Muslim area and everything. And actually, it's been such a blessing to have Carl and Alicia in there. I don't know if you guys know the story. They came 2 years ago, and actually to jump into a foreign country and to don't know the language and to really don't know if people, how are people going to react, and people rejecting you because of you're the pastor. And when people know that you're the pastor of the church, they won't even say hello to you on the street. That's how close people are in there with church and God. So actually we've been so blessed to have these people there, and just like to really start and build that foundation. And like when we have that strong foundation, we really know that we're going to go further and further. And actually we've got some pictures that it's showing what we're doing in Albania. So we've been doing English courses, like the real English courses. And we finished that in May. And we had a few people, like Muslim people, come into the English course and being part of it and everything. And we've been doing live groups. We started the leadership training. It was for this year. It was the first time in Albania. And we've been doing like Bible courses and live groups, so we're just trying like to do so much stuff to just draw people. And also the summer camp, which you saw the video a few weeks ago, which everybody was in tears. And so we really believe that Grace Life is a family, and we really want to see that country changing and getting saved.
That's awesome. I just thought, can you put the picture before that? Two pictures where there was two pictures up. So I'll share this testimony quickly. Before that, we just wanted to introduce you to, after that, sorry, where there's the two pictures on. There we go. This was our last day in Albania in January.
Yeah.
And the guy on the far left at the bottom is French. And we had it was really awesome testimony. We had a what did we call it? Freedom Conference. Yeah. That's what inspired the Freedom Month and the Freedom Conference and everything we're doing, going to be doing over the next 2 months, which is technically a month. But this guy came in from the hostel, from the, what do you call it there? The backpackers. Or what do you call it?
Yeah, hostel.
The hostel. And he came in, sat through the service, and the Freedom Conference there, we had no worship, because in the culture, they don't understand how you do church.
Yeah.
So singing and then having a message doesn't make sense. And for us, it makes sense because most of us grow up with some familiarity with regard to church, right? So for there, Alicia, I remember her asking me, do you want to have worship? And I said, no, because nobody's going to understand what we're doing. Yeah. They're going to look at us and we're singing songs and it's going to be weird. So all we did was we had tea and coffee. People arrived. Alicia got up and she said, I want to introduce Shane. He's from South Africa. I got up and I ministered. And then we prayed for people and we had miracles and we had healings and people got saved and it was awesome. This guy on the left came up after the one service that we had, and he said to me, I have a question for you. He said, you say that the Christian is the only one that has God living inside of them. And I said, yes. And he said, what about those who aren't Christians? Doesn't God live inside of them too? Wasn't God with them? And I thought, there's a story here. So I was kind of, Holy Spirit, you have to help me with this. And so I said to him, I said, I believe that God is with every single person on the face of the earth, but he's only inside a Christian. The Christian is his address. I said, God is reaching out to every single person on the face of the earth, but when you accept him, then he comes to live inside of you, and that makes you a Christian. And he said, oh, okay. And then I said, so, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? Whatever. He said, he's from France. He's on a pilgrimage to Tibet, where his grandfather was a Tibetan monk, and his grandfather's just passed away, and he's going to go and fetch his grandfather's belongings and go and meet his grandfather's friends, who are monks. And I was like, oh, I fell into this one. This is a bit uncomfortable. This is awkward, that awkward conversation, you know, about eternal destiny. And so I was like, that's great, you know. I kind of didn't know what to say, and so I kind of gave him some books and Rooted. We had Rooted translated into Albanian, so he got the English. It's English and Albanian in the same book, so he took that, and we just chatted a bit, and he had put up his hand to receive Christ, so that was a step forward. Then straight after the service, we went to the sea, which you can see there. What sea is it?
Adriatic. Yeah.
See, and we were baptizing a couple people, and he was the last person to get baptized in his jeans, just before he carried on with his journey. He was like, "No, I want to do this too. I want to follow Jesus." And I mean, that's awesome. So, the church in Albania is not just reaching Albanians; it's reaching people all over Europe, because the hostel there has got people. We had a guy from the UK in there who also got born again, and now he's traveling all over.
And the girl from Germany.
Who got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they carry on. And so it's really making an impact. And yes, there's people to reach. We've had to fight off this mindset a bit in the church over the past 2 years, where people are like, "Well, what about the people on our doorstep? There's people who need to be saved, people who need to get help." And yes, there is, but the church is doing a good job in South Africa. We can do a better job, but we don't have to sort out home base before we go on. Can you put on Acts chapter 1 verse 8, please? It says, but you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you'll be witnesses unto Jesus in all the earth. Okay, but it doesn't say you receive the Holy Spirit and have goosebumps, and you'll feel good. It says you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for a purpose, and that is a purpose to be witnesses unto Jesus in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It doesn't say in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. If it said then it's in sequence. But because it says and, it means we can impact the whole world at the same time. We don't have to go step one, at Pretoria, step two, Harare, step three, and kind of work our way up to Harare. Fortunately, you can get in a plane and get to Albania.
So
you don't have to hit everything in between. Although we'd love to, God's given us the open door in Albania, not in Kenya. We don't know anyone in Kenya.
Yep.
We are not yet. We're not close to it, but the point is God opened the door for us, so that's why we're there. Amen? Just a few things I want to say. A few Christians have the sense of identity that Romina has. Few Christians, because why? Because we're living for ourselves. And here's a news broadcast for you. Christianity is not for self-fulfillment. It's not for you to be happy and for you to have prosperity and all of this. It includes all of that. But it's for us to be able to have Jesus living inside of us and through us to make an impact in the world. Basically, from what she said, I want to add on to there that life is short, hell is hot, and eternity is forever. And it's true. Is what you're doing and what you're focusing on going to matter in 10,000 years' time? You're going to be alive. Not necessarily in your body right now, but is what you're doing going to matter for eternity? That's the key. Our giving, we didn't plan for this to be a giving message, but our giving definitely impacts eternity. So giving into the kingdom helps impact eternity. Reaching your unsaved loved one is helping to impact eternity. Helping to support the church in Albania is impacting eternity. Many of you don't know Carl and Alicia. They'll be back in December and January, so you'll get an opportunity to meet them. During that time, my wife and myself and the boys will be looking after the church in Albania, and we'll be changing Eastern Europe. Albania. Carl and Alicia will be here ministering to you guys and sharing some more about you. So I encourage you, when you hear that they're here, come. But I wanted to ask, is your mic on? Yes. Ask you a few questions before you go and sit. Firstly, what's the biggest difference you've seen between Albania and South Africa?
The Christian culture. Just having the environment, just hanging out with Christian people. I've never experienced this in my life in Albania.
Are you used to hanging out with Muslims?
Yeah.
If we were to talk about the house of God here, we'd be talking about church, right? In our culture. We should be talking about your body. But we talk about the church building, right? In Albania, for tourism, they call the house of God is the mosque. So it just shows you the difference in culture. It's completely different. They're coming from a communist mindset with a Muslim or Islamic culture. So it's completely different.
Yeah.
Okay? So I think that for me, that was probably the biggest difference between Albania and South Africa, was the culture like that. What's the biggest thing you've learned
I think something that has really touched my heart is to don't control people's heart, but to win people's heart. And once you win their heart, you know, like you're on the right direction to them. I think that's just the best, to win their heart and just, yeah, to just treat them in love.
That's awesome. And you've done about 300, I think it's probably more, but 300 hours of Bible school while you've been here in 6 months. That's really good. And we wanted to give a certificate today, but we don't have it yet. We'll give it to you when you get to our baby.
Okay.
But she's finished first year of Bible school, so let's give her a hand. I think that that's really a big task. For some people, it takes them more than 2 years to do a one-year Bible school certificate, and she did it in 6 months. And so that's really awesome. And she's going back full of the word to be able to impact Albania. And I'm excited to, when I get back to Albania, which is in maybe 2-3 months' time, just to see the impact that she's already made in the lives of people there.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you'd like to say to us as the church in South Africa?
I'm going to miss you guys.
We're going to miss you too.
I think it's been the best experience of my life to just come and be part of Grace Life in South Africa and just to see like people and just to spend time. It's just been a blessing for me.
Okay, awesome. Let's stand in the front. We're just going to pray for her. Come stand, Joe.
Holy place.
Then you can wave to everyone back home on camera that's watching you. Awesome. Father, we just want to thank you for Romina. We thank you for the blessing that she's been to us, Father. And we thank you that she's had the opportunity to spend this time with her, investing into her, seeing her grow and connecting to family here and just receive and just receive and receive, getting ready to go back. And I thank you, Father, for the sense of destiny which you've given her. I thank you, Father, for the direction which you've given her. I thank you, Father, for just the calling and the gifting on her life. And we just, as we lay hands on her, we just speak blessing over her in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that she's going back to impact generations to come, that she's going back to be able to just see people's lives radically get impacted by what you've placed inside of her. We just speak blessing. We thank you, Father, that you're preparing the way for her and that as she goes back, she's going to be received back just in such a great way, even into the community, into the unsaved community too, Father, that they're going to receive her back and just want to hear how her trip was and that even by her sharing about her trip, people are going to get born again. And that the church is going to grow through this, through her going back. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the gifts, the spiritual gifts that you've placed inside of her, and that those are going to be stirred up and just start to come out and be a blessing to the people as she comes into contact with them when she goes back now, in Jesus' name.
And just a scripture that I got from God for Albania, and Romina, you can take it back with you. It says in Isaiah 11:10, "Then in that day the nations will make supplications to the root of Jesse. We will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious." So thank you, Father, yeah, that we see a glorious church in Albania, we see a glorious church in Eastern Europe and Europe. Yeah, we see a glorious church that that we are part of, Father, and thank you for that. Thank you that Romina has also just increased our vision and our hearts by coming here and by sharing in Stellenbosch, sharing in Piketberg, and I thank you that we are part of a global family, but we're also part of a global rescue plan, and Romina, you are 100% part of that. I want to just see, as you go back, you take Jesus with you, you take the good news message with you, but you also take family back with you. And yeah, it's not saying goodbye, it's just till we see you again, but it's going to be many more times. And yeah, thank you, Father, for the help that she's just in the ministry, for the help that she is in stepping out and just, yeah, building her faith and just the example that she is, and also the support for Carol and Alicia. Thank you that we can look forward to their visit, Father, because we know that there's leaders developing back home, Father, in Albania. And thank you that Romina is part of it, Father. Thank you that she's one of the leaders in the making even, Father, and they're just stepping out. And I just proclaim blessing and prosperity over her life. And thank you that finances will just be in abundance, Father, for her to step out and to support and to go forth and make disciples, to show the world that Jesus did not condemn, but that he came to save. That he came to save Albania, that he came to save Eastern Europe, but that he came to save the world. And yeah, Romina, I thank you for what you've given us and shown us.
Yeah, Romina, I just really feel in my heart that God just says, keep on drawing your strength from me as your dad, as your father. And yeah, I just thank you, Father, for this beautiful, powerful young lady that has just taken such a big step into coming to South Africa and just, yeah, putting relationships even on the line for you, Father God, just because she knows the calling that she has on her life. And I just thank you that her going back is going to make such a big impact on her country, and that you are just going to open up all the doors for her and just show your love toward to her firstly, Father, that's just going to boil out of her wherever she goes. Thank you that you're the one keeping her safe. You're the one loving her, Father, and just guiding her in this exciting time that's lying ahead of her. And that, yeah, I just know that she's just going to learn so much more and just go from strength to strength, Father. And yeah, thank you for your protection over her life. Thank you for the blessing that Romina has been to Grace Life here. And yeah, we just thank you for the privilege of getting to know her as well. And we just send her home with your strength and your love. And we know and look forward to all the testimonies that's going to come. Amen.
Scripture from 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. You are young, but do not let anyone treat you as if you're not important. Be an example to show the believers. And I want to add, even the unbelievers, how they should live. Show them by what you say, by the way you live, by your love, by your faith, by your pure life. Continue to read the scripture, study the scripture, the people, encourage them and teach them. Do this until I come. Remember to use the gift you have. Thank you, Father, just for the anointing that's on Romina's life, to just share your gospel, Father, to share your love with the people around her, to her peers. Thank you, Father, that the young and the old will look up to her, Father, will see the love that is shining forth from her. Thank you, Father, that she will grow deeper in the love that you've got for her, Father, the delight that you've got in her sharing and running with the gospel, Father, just going forth, Father, having confidence, having boldness, Father, to just proclaim your life, your goodness to the people around it, to the people of Albania. Thank you for the passion that's burning on her heart for Albania, Father. That's your passion burning inside of her. And thank you, Father, as she goes forth. She's just lighting fires wherever she goes, Father. And those fires are just being spread, Father, wherever she goes, Father, just touching people with your love. We just thank you for her and that she's just going forth and doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Let's give Romina a hand. Okay, Peter, you don't have to come up yet. Has anyone got a testimony they'd like to share of healing, from, especially from last week? I'm trying to remember some of them myself. Anyone got one? Just come up. Don't be shy. We had a couple this morning as well. A couple people, you can come up. A couple people got healed this morning. I can't remember any of them. I can never remember this on the spot. But this morning we had a leg grow. Last week we had a leg grow. This morning, actually, someone brought someone to get healed, which is really awesome. Neither of them come to Grace Life, but this one person contacted me on email and said they want to bring someone to who needs healing, and so they brought them. It's awesome for me that this is a reputation we're developing. And I had a word of knowledge, which was that someone's got a problem with the right hip, and it's quite painful. And the person who brought someone was the person with the right hip problem. They came up, got healed, and then we prayed for the friend later. And so that was just one of the testimonies. You got a healing testimony.
Okay, yeah. So I see on like a weekly basis at Varsity just miracles. A personal miracle for me. My right leg was 2 inches shorter than my left leg. So I had back pain this year. I was like playing foosball with friends. And I was like, yes, I've got some real back pain. So I went home and I measured. And my right leg was like 2 inches shorter than the other one. And yeah, the Holy Spirit grew it out. And I've got no more back pain. So, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Anyone else? Going once. There we go. Come up.
Thank you. Last 2 weeks ago, I went home after church, and I threw a party. It was a party, a farewell party. I said goodbye, never again will I see you. Go well to lake and poverty. It was a farewell party. So that I had this joy of the about the word that was being preached here. It's still there. In fact, things began happening that this whole week, this past week, I've been up and down to a place called Philadelphia for, so that I will see God's prosperity happening. But now the devil thinks he will be able to take away my joy. It's impossible. As I'm talking to you this morning, that's why I wasn't here, because my son is on life support in Red Cross Hospital now. But he will not die, he will live, and next Sunday you will see him here declaring the goodness of the Lord.
Let's pray for you. Come sit.
Yeah, Father, we just want to, your son's name Joshua. We just thank you, Father, for Joshua. We thank you that your presence is there with him, Father. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we just declare peace and rest in his heart and the daddy's heart. We just command life and healing into Joshua's body right now. We declare that everything, all the damage is reversed, all the infection is gone. And we declare right now that there's a change and that he's coming home tomorrow. We just declare strength and health in his body in Jesus' name. We thank you for a good testimony. By the authority of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So they can have a testimony next week. Can you put up Romans chapter 10 verse 9? I just want to share two verses or two scriptures with us. Any last testimonies from anyone? Come. There's two. Okay, come Jesma and then you can come.
Overall, we, like Matthew said, we see these healings taking place every day. So it's a lifestyle. And so I work at a preschool, and there's 15 ladies that I see every day. So there's a lot of pains and aches and stuff like that. So there's always an opportunity to lay on hands and just declare the healing of God. So there's just one lady who said she's got this terrible earache. So it might be something small, a toothache or whatever. Whether it's cancer, whether it's a toothache, God wants you to be in perfect health. And so don't just wait for it to get worse. Just remind it to leave and act upon that. So this is just so she got healed. The next day she just told me this ear has been troubling her for many years. And so I just laid my hands on her. I prayed for her. The next day she said it's been swollen. That is has left, and her ear is perfect. So just stuff like that. Small stuff. It happens daily. So it becomes part of your life.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, so it was probably a few months ago, and someone blessed me with a spa day, and then, during the spa day, it included a reflexology something, and now I didn't know what reflexology was, but as soon as they saw it, I was like, oh, this is what it is. So it's like they touch your feet, and they say your feet is connected to some part of your body. But this lady, she told me like my one foot is shorter than the other, and she told me, oh, you can go to this person, you can go do exercise. And I thought by myself, no, I'll just go to church, it's fine. So then, but then for some reason, and just every time I went to church, it slipped my mind to come forward, and then I came forward probably three weeks ago, and then we prayed for my feet, and it actually grew. And now I remember before I came for my leg to grow. Usually when I went out for a jog, every time when I came to 3 kilometers, then my feet would ache so much that I would just, I'd start walking because I can't walk, and like it was just so sore. And then literally, I think it was 2 days after the healing, I went for a jog again, and then when I jogged, there was like, I think it was four kilometers without any soreness on my feet. It was amazing. So yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Where's May? May, are you here? Is May here? Where's May? There you are. Right up front. Share your testimony too, please.
Okay. Hi, guys. So this has been for this year. I think it was in the middle of the year or something like this. I went to the dentist. I was terrified. He gave me some bad news that I might lose the front of my teeth here because I had a hole that basically there's no...
In your jaw.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's in my jaw, but it's just underneath where my teeth are. And so he was just
we're going to have to operate and everything like this. But first, we're going to do antibiotics for a couple of months. And so I was in great fear because I don't want to lose my teeth. But also, I can't bite down on things. But God sent it, like, I promise you, every time I was like, okay, at a pizza evening or something with Grace Life, people that were around me would say, okay, well, we'll just pray for this and we'll be fine. So months on end, people were praying for me consistently and everything like this and building me up in faith. And so 2 weeks back, I went to the dentist and he was very adamant we were going to operate. And when he put the x-rays together, there's a picture of a hole at the bottom of my jaw. And now it's all cleared up again. The bone has grown back. Everything's good. Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. If you're serving communion, you can come up so long and stand ready to serve communion. Go for it, Henry.
I was wondering if I need to share my testimony. But it's always time to share God's goodness, right? Amen. About 4 years ago, still in Bloemfontein studying, I was still engaging in my passion of playing rugby. And sidestepped, and I think a lot of guys is familiar with ACL and tearing your cartilage, and to go through the whole procedure of having the operation. I think you guys will see every day. You'll see a guy with crutches walking with the bracing. It's a ACL and cartilage operation. Yes, you recover and you can play sport again, but sometimes your leg is never the same again. Anyway, I was in my religious mindset, as Romina was sharing, Christian background, knowing Jesus, but don't knowing the truth of grace and what Jesus did on the cross. So I went through the whole natural process. Thank you, God, for doctors. That's why I'm still here. At the natural procedure and rehab, and I was back on the field, but was never the same again. Came to Stellenbosch, met Grace, met Jesus, and my life was never the same again. Having the knowledge of what happened on the cross, becoming revelation, and living Jesus, and tasting His love for me, and saying that there's no condemnation. So last year I engaged in that passion again, back on the field, full training, and played a little bit of sevens, and in another one of my dancing moves, I stepped again, and I could hear the same sound, snapping, landed on my back, and it is as if that same scenario played off like 4 years ago. Straight, the enemy's on my back, and first of all, as Henry is, a bit hard on myself, and enemy was like, you knew you mustn't be on the field back again. You're not in shape, or you're not conditioned that well. You already had a procedure, whatever. And but now I have the knowledge, and I have Christ inside of me, knowing that I have Christ inside of me, and that He loves me regardless. And so I just slammed my knee on that field, and I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And now I know I don't need to abort the mission, because I think, I don't know if Shane's going to share this, but that's the seed planted, seed of healing. So if I then concentrate on the natural aspect that says, because the symptoms, the knee is growing. As I'm sitting on the field, the knee is growing. I can't rotate it. It's screaming pain. It's just water all over. I can't even, they need to pick me up, take me off the field. The coach says, are you ready for the next game? Are you ready for the next game? Wisdom kicked in, past experience saying, you're done for the year. So I submitted under that, but kept on proclaiming. But the symptoms screamed pain. The symptoms screamed the healing didn't manifest straight away. But I know, my God, this promise still stands. So as long as I'm standing on the word, this will manifest. Because I've seen it in the streets. I've seen it in my life. Cancer, cold, going. And it was the weekend past. Monday still coming. I know at Marty's you have a freebie of going to the doctor, free consultation, saying, listen, that they just check out your condition. And enemy was on my, I was back in the office, can't rotate my leg, but I'm standing on this healing. And I know the enemy came around, said, listen, you still have that freebie. Don't you want just to go and check out your leg to get the doctor's report? Because you know your ACL is torn again, and your cartilage has gone again. And I says, God, now that's my opportunity where I'm going to either stand on faith, because that's where my faith is at. Either stand on what I've proclaimed over my knee, or I'm going to the doctor to get a worldly opinion about a supernatural effect. And it's not, it's just nullifying whatever I've done. And I made a decision, I'm going to stick with although I don't know if I will be able to play sport again, is this thing going to recover? But faith says, believe in the unseen. And believe it or not, without a doctor, without rehab, with the experience of the past of 6 months doing rehab, not being the same again, in 2 weeks' time, I was back on the field again. And I'm still today, I'm playing the best touch rugby. I'm playing the best touch rugby than ever, and I'm enjoying my sport again, but without an operation, without hassles, and that is God's goodness. So, despite anything about what your mind tells you, your own condemnation of saying, "Listen, you knew you mustn't be there on the field again or whatever," God's bigger than that. In a cold, in a cancer, in an injury for the guys and girls in sports and stuff. God is bigger than your situation. And God didn't send that injury. He sets us free from it. Amen.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. So about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I got born again the evening. And I decided, that evening that I was going to throw away my asthma medication. I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I know what? I've been having chronic asthma my whole life, since like an old kid. And I can't go a day or two without my asthma medication. I would get an asthma attack. And I threw it in the dustbin. I was like, I'm done. Completely. I was like, let's do it properly. It's been 3 months. I haven't used my medication once. It's amazing. I'm a singer as well. I sing for the Stellenbosch Choir, and I've never sung better in my life. My breath is just insane. I can keep the notes, and it goes on for like a few more counts. It's amazing. I had an asthma attack last week, but without help of the medication, I prayed for it and it went away immediately. So it's just amazing. Yeah. Amen.
Awesome. God is good. Let me share these two scriptures quickly. It says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever shall not be ashamed. And so this is showing us how we are born again, how we can experience the new birth, how we become Christians. And the only thing I want to point out from these verses is how simple it is. So if you're not a Christian and you want to be a Christian, it's very simple. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and then you're saved. Then you're born again. It's very, very simple. Okay? Now, for those of us that are Christians, like, it's a case of just we're reminded how simple it was. I mean, I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt their salvation this evening. I'm trying to show you how simple it was for you to get saved, and if you're not saved, how simple it is. It doesn't say obey the Ten Commandments. It doesn't say pay something. It doesn't say go anywhere. It just says believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you're saved. It's really, really simple. Amen? And in that moment, your eternity is secure because you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. You made a confession on the outside. I mean, that's simple, don't you think? That's not complicated at all. Anyone can do that. And it even says that in the last verse, verse 11, it says, anyone who calls, I think it's verse 13, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's super, super simple. Okay? Now, we believe this when it comes to salvation, but you know what? We need to believe the word when it comes to healing as well. And that's what I want to encourage us when it comes to communion, in that, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, we're going to read up to 18, but Mark 16:15, it says, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he's telling us, go and preach the good news of what Jesus has done for us to the whole world, to every creature. And then it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. So how are you saved? You believe. Baptism is the response to believing. Belief is what saves you. Baptism is just the response. Then it says, if you don't believe, you're damned. That's when, you know, if you're choosing hell if you're not choosing to believe. Okay, then it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Who's it talking about when it says believe? The believer. Now, how did you become a believer? How did you become a Christian? Well, it's pretty simple. You believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth, you became a Christian. And now Jesus is describing what's true of you. In these signs shall follow them that believe. in my name, which means in his authority, it's his power, it's his authority which is doing this, you shall cast out devils. That, you know, some sicknesses are a result of demonic. Sometimes there's bondages in our lives which are maybe of demonic influence, and the believer can easily deal with that by telling the devil where to go, which is back to hell. Okay, so these signs they shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak in new tongues, they shall take up servants, and they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Talking about supernatural protection. And then it says they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so this is showing us that, hey, when we lay, Jesus is saying if you're a believer, you lay hands on the sick and they recover. So how did we get saved? It was heart belief, mouth confession, and it resulted in salvation, and it's easy for us to believe that, but then you've got the words of Jesus that's written and read in your Bible, and we struggle to believe that when we lay hands, that we receive healing. And I want to encourage us this evening, doesn't matter what condition is in your body, if it's chronic, if it's not chronic or whatever, like we said last week, just keep swinging that axe at that tree. If you missed that, then get the CD. Keep swinging that axe, and the more you just keep swinging, keep laying hands, that's what I'm talking about, keep laying hands, the more life is happening, life is flowing, and recovery is taking place. And you've just got to believe that recovery is taking place, because it is. It's nothing else, not long prayer, just lay hands and recovery is taking place.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.